Part 2. Listening Comprehension.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center. Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 1. Oh, here's a piece of cake and a small coffee for you, sir. The total is 35 yuan. For here or to go?
To go. I'd like to have them in my car. Thank you.
Where does this conversation most probably take place? Question 2. Oh, I must have been sitting in the same position too long. My legs have fallen asleep.
Shake them a little before you get up.
What does the man suggest the woman do? Question 3. It's hard to believe that half the class couldn't complete the 3,000-meter race, isn't it?
I'm afraid that says something about the student's physical fitness.
What does the man mean? Question 4. Have Lisa and Eric started a family yet? They've been married for 2 years now.
Eric told me that they postponed having children until he gets his doctoral degree.
What do we learn about Lisa and Eric? Question 5. Hi, John. Haven't seen you for quite a few days. I heard from guys at the gym you've been sick. How are you feeling now?
They must have confused me with my brother Jack. Anyway, he's feeling better now.
What does the man mean? Question 6. Excuse me. Will it take me long to get to the museum that opened to the public recently?
No, it's no distance at all. In fact, I'm going in the same direction. Come, and I'll show you the way when we get to the crossroads.
What do we learn from the conversation?
Question 7. See that guy over there in the corner? He comes in every Friday night around 6 and he just sits there for hours.
It's odd, but there is not much we can do as long as he orders something to drink.
What does the woman mean?
Question 8. You certainly have a lot of clocks. There seems to be one in every room.
My family gave them to me because I have trouble keeping track of time.
What does the man's family want him to do? Now you'll hear 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
Watch it, Mary.
What's the matter?
This is the end of the road. There's a river just beyond those trees.
Another river? I've never seen so many rivers anywhere in my life. Let's go take a look.
This river is wide and deep.
Yeah, you're sure right about that. We aren't going to be able to put any ordinary bridge across this one.
Do we have to get the trucks over to the other side?
That's what they told me.
What about a ferry?
That's what we'll have to do if I can't think of anything else. But it'll really slow down the operation.
What about flying the equipment over? You know, helicopter.
We'd have to take the big trucks apart and then put them back together again. Slower than a ferry and a lot more expensive.
What are you going to do then?
Well, I'm beginning to get an idea. Have you ever heard of a pontoon bridge?
No. What's that?
It's a bridge that's supported on boats. The boats are anchored at regular distances, and they carry the weight of the bridge.
I guess that might work if you have enough boats, but won't it take a long time to build them?
Maybe we can buy them.
Buy them?
From some of the native villagers. I've seen some fairly big rowing boats.
I don't know about that. Most of those boats are pretty light.
Yeah, but if we tied up a bunch of them together, they might support a road. Let's find out, anyhow.
Okay. Questions 9 to 11 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 9. What do the speakers say about the river beyond the trees? Question 10. What were the speakers told to do? Question 11. What do the speakers decide to do finally?
Conversation 2. Did your father encourage you to climb Mount Kamalongma?
No. I did ask him to pull some strings so that I could climb with an Indian expedition, and he flapped this at no. He climbed so that we wouldn't have to.
Did you climb any mountains with him when you were a kid?
Mount Bikaroi, our training peak.
What did he say at the top?
He didn't talk much, but from his smile, I could see he was proud.
The Sherpa view of climbing is different from the Western view.
We Sherpas believe that mountains are places where the gods live, especially Mount Komolongma. Before we climb, we perform religious ceremonies to ask God for permission and a safe passage. Sherpas don't have any interest in climbing mountains. Mostly, they climb as a necessity to make money, but the Western world looks on Mount Komolongma as another rock and says, "Wow, this is the highest mountain. Let's go conquer it." You don't conquer Mount Komolongma. You go on Mount Komolongma just as if you were crawling into your mother's lap.
Let's talk about the day you reached the summit of Mount Komolongma.
My desire to climb Mount Komolongma grew even more after my father died in 1986. I wanted to climb to understand him. Throughout the whole climb, I thought about it. On the final day, I felt my father was pulling or pushing me because I didn't know where this energy came from. When I finally got to the top, I cried. I could see my dad there with a big smile.
Questions 12 to 15 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 12. What did the man ask his father to do? Question 13. What do we learn about the man's father from the conversation? Question 14. How do Westerners view mountains according to the man? Question 15. What does a man say about his climb to the summit of Mount Umalongma?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. There are a few differences in the organization of memorandums and letters. Memorandums and letters differ somewhat in appearance. To and from replace the letters inside address and signature block, for example. Further, letters are usually sent outside the organization, while memorandums are usually internal messages. As internal messages, memorandums tend to be more informal and more direct than their letter counterparts. One survey of 800 business people showed they spent from 21 to 38% of their time writing memorandums. There must be a lot of executives overwhelmed by the number of memorandums they received. As a result, competition for the reader's time places importance on directness and clarity of memorandums. So, perhaps even more so than with letters, memorandums should start with the statement of the purpose early in the message. Memorandums also need special visual treatment. Keep paragraphs short, much like newspaper articles. Computers increasingly aid mid- and upper-level managers who prepare their own memorandums without secretarial help. If you prepare your own correspondence, realize the importance of dating your messages. Knowing precisely when you recommended, ordered, signed, or asked about something often is crucial. Computers often can date information for you easily. Another characteristic that can set memorandums apart from letters is the inclusion of humor. When the internal message is lighthearted and relatively unimportant, humor in a memorandum can distinguish its author as a person with personality and depth. As long as the humor is on target, does not embarrass others, is not overdone, and is not too frequent, it can reflect positively on its author.
Questions 16 to 19 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 16. How does the speaker start his talk? Question 17. What did the survey of 800 business people show? Question 18. What does the speaker say is most important in memorandum writing? Question 19. What characteristic of a memorandum can make readers think highly of its writer?
Passage 2. At school and at work, I have noticed that people have different kinds of work habits. Some people are collaborators who like to work in groups. They find that doing a project with someone else makes the job more pleasant and the load lighter. Collaborators never work alone unless they are forced to. A second category I had noticed is the advice seeker. An advice seeker does the bulk of her work alone, but frequently looks to others for advice. When this worker has raised a crucial point in her project, she may show it to a classmate or coworker just to get another opinion. Getting the advice of others makes this worker feel secure about her project as it takes shape. Another type of worker I have noticed is the slacker. A slacker tries to avoid work whenever possible. If he seems to be busy at the computer, he is probably playing a game online. And if he is writing busily, he is probably making his grocery list. Slackers will do anything except the work they are paid to do. The final type of worker is the loner. This type of worker prefers working alone. This type of worker has confidence in his ability and is likely to feel that collaboration is a waste of time. Loners work with others only when they are forced to. Collaborators, advice seekers, slackers, and loners have different work styles, but each knows the work habits that help him or her to get the job done.
Questions 20 to 22 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 20. What do collaborators and loners have in common? Question 21. In what aspect does an advice seeker differ greatly from a loner? Question 22. What do we learn about slackers?
Passage 3. Before the Civil War, if you were black and born a free man, you could still be forced into slavery. That's what happened to Solomon Northup. Northup was born a free man in Minerva, New York, in 1808. He was a carpenter and talented drummer. In 1834, he and his wife moved to Saratoga Springs, New York, where they had three children. In 1841, Northup met two men who claimed to be from a circus. Because he needed the money, Northup agreed to join them as a drummer in Washington, D.C. Once they reached Washington, however, the men drugged, chained, robbed, and sold him to a slave trader. Northup was shipped south to New Orleans, along with other slaves, where he was sold in a slave market. He spent the next 12 years as a slave working for three masters. Northup worked hard and endured much cruelty, but he was always looking for the chance to escape or contact his family and friends in New York. Finally, in 1852, Northup befriended Samuel Bass, a Canadian carpenter. With his help, Northup sent a letter to his friends in New York. Through the help of his friends, he regained his freedom in 1853. Northup returned to New York, where he was finally reunited with his family. Northup has many descendants, who gathered together in Saratoga Springs on July 24, 1999, for a tribute to their ancestor. The town of Saratoga Springs declared July 24th Solomon Northup Day to remember the suffering of Northup and other African Americans who lived as slaves.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 23. What happened to Solomon Northup in 1841? Question 24. Who helped Northup regain contact with his friends? Question 25. What did the town of Saratoga Springs do?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks with the exact words you have just heard. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
Intolerance is the art of ignoring any views that differ from your own. It manifests itself in hatred, stereotypes, prejudice, and discrimination. Once it intensifies in people, intolerance is nearly impossible to overcome. But why would anyone want to be labeled intolerant? Why would people want to be uninformed about the world around them? Why would one want to be part of the problem in America instead of the solution? There are many explanations for intolerant attitudes, some dating back to childhood. It is likely that intolerant folks grew up imitating intolerant parents, and the cycle of prejudice has simply continued for generations. Perhaps intolerant people are so set in their ways that they find it easier to ignore anything that might not conform to their limited view of life. Or maybe intolerant students have simply never been exposed to anyone different from themselves. But none of these reasons is an excuse for allowing the intolerance to continue. Intolerance should not be confused with disagreement. It is, of course, possible to disagree with an opinion without being intolerant of it. If you understand a belief but still don't believe in that specific belief, that's fine. You are entitled to your opinion. As a matter of fact, knowledgeable dissenters are important for any belief. If we all believed the same things, we would never grow, and we would never learn about the world around us. Intolerance does not stem from disagreement. It stems from fear, and fear stems from ignorance.
Now the passage will be read again. Intolerance is the art of ignoring any views that differ from your own. It manifests itself in hatred, stereotypes, prejudice, and discrimination. Once it intensifies in people, intolerance is nearly impossible to overcome. But why would anyone want to be labeled intolerant? Why would people want to be uninformed about the world around them? Why would one want to be part of the problem in America instead of the solution? There are many explanations for intolerant attitudes, some dating back to childhood. It is likely that intolerant folks grew up imitating intolerant parents, and the cycle of prejudice has simply continued for generations. Perhaps intolerant people are so set in their ways that they find it easier to ignore anything that might not conform to their limited view of life. Or maybe intolerant students have simply never been exposed to anyone different from themselves. But none of these reasons is an excuse for allowing the intolerance to continue. Intolerance should not be confused with disagreement. It is, of course, possible to disagree with an opinion without being intolerant of it. If you understand a belief, but still don't believe in that specific belief, that's fine. You are entitled to your opinion. As a matter of fact, knowledgeable dissenters are important for any belief. If we all believed the same things, we would never grow, and we would never learn about the world around us. Intolerance does not stem from disagreement, it stems from fear, and fear stems from ignorance.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Intolerance is the art of ignoring any views that differ from your own. It manifests itself in hatred, stereotypes, prejudice, and discrimination. Once it intensifies in people, intolerance is nearly impossible to overcome. But why would anyone want to be labeled intolerant? Why would people want to be uninformed about the world around them? Why would one want to be part of the problem in America instead of the solution? There are many explanations for intolerant attitudes, some dating back to childhood. It is likely that intolerant folks grew up imitating intolerant parents, and the cycle of prejudice has simply continued for generations. Perhaps intolerant people are so set in their ways that they find it easier to ignore anything that might not conform to their limited view of life. Or maybe intolerant students have simply never been exposed to anyone different from themselves. But none of these reasons is an excuse for allowing the intolerance to continue. Intolerance should not be confused with disagreement. It is, of course, possible to disagree with an opinion without being intolerant of it. If you understand a belief but still don't believe in that specific belief, that's fine. You are entitled to your opinion. As a matter of fact, knowledgeable dissenters are important for any belief. If we all believed the same things, we would never grow, and we would never learn about the world around us. Intolerance does not stem from disagreement. It stems from fear, and fear stems from ignorance.